This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
I want us to go back to one of that horrible time with the pandemic, and one of the frustrating things was not being able to get a haircut. And many of us tried cutting our own whilst others just let it grow. And it wasn't just us that desperately needed a haircut. Any owner of one of the poodle varieties will know that after a while, the hair becomes matted and is then an absolute nightmare to manage. Now, I love the poodle breed, but dog grooming is expensive, and it's something you need to factor in if you're considering getting one. So, what are the different dog coats, and what's the best way to look after them? Dr. Susan Hazel is Associate Professor from the School of Animal and Veterinary Science at the University of Adelaide. Susan, welcome back to Drive.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Now, there's so many different dog coats out there. Do we create these through breeding because we liked a particular look? How did they come about?
Yes, we have. So, as domestic dogs evolved from the wolf, there would have been natural mutations, and then when people liked that particular coat or the way the dog looked, they specifically bred them. So as far as dog coats go, genetically it's actually far simpler than people had realised, where there are three main types of coat. So how long or short it is, and there's one gene responsible for that. Whether it's curly or not, and there's another gene responsible for that. And the third gene is whether or not the dogs have something fantastic called furnishings, or I like to call them flourishes, which are the dog breeds that have the eyebrows, the whiskers, the extra bits of hair that they grow.
With the different types of dog coats, are they all the same? I don't know what the word is. Like, are they the same type of fur? For example, a poodle, I know, you know, it keeps growing and growing. They don't shed as such. Is it just the shedding process that's different, or is the fur completely different? Because some people refer to it as like wool.
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I'm not sure I can answer that on the spot. I don't know of any research. I couldn't find anything, but I suspect there are different types of hair as well. I guess it might come in the same realm as people have thick hair or finer hair that can feel a little bit different as well, and dogs could be the same.
What are the main coat types in dogs?
So there are the curly, the long and the short, and the extra bits. And then the other one that I didn't mention is whether they've got a single coat or a double coat. So again, that's a mutation. Wolves don't have it, but breeds like the Labrador or the Newfoundland, if you part their hair, they've got their outer coat, and then they've got a finer, denser undercoat. So for Labradors that were used in icy cold water, that helped to insulate them and protect them when they were working.
So they developed that themselves based on the conditions that they were growing up in?
Not quite. There would have been a mutation, and then people noticed that mutation, and they had a purpose that they wanted the dog to work for, and dogs that had that mutation probably did much better. So they then kept breeding them.
Are the dogs with this second coat, are they the ones that tend to lose more fur, particularly when the weather changes?
They can be. So the poodle variety, they don't tend to shed as much hair, but the double-coated ones do. We have a Labrador ourselves, and even though you think of them as a short coat, it's quite remarkable how much hair they can shed.
I know a friend of mine's got a Labrador, and there's little balls of fur everywhere.
Yes, I can identify with that.
Now, grooming isn't just about making the dog look good. I know during COVID, Fuzzy got very matted with his poodle hair, and it was a bit of a nightmare to try and fix up once we were able to get grooming again. What are the implications of not looking after your pet's fur?
So if you don't do that grooming and they start getting matted, the mats can get thicker and thicker, and if they're around a limb, they can actually cause strangulation, so they can cut off blood supply, which is a medical emergency. But as well, if they get smelly, they can get fly blown, they can get infections. If they get moisture under the skin can become infected and really smelly. So there are some real health implications of not doing that grooming, as well as just being mildly in mild discomfort.
We're chatting with Dr. Susan Hazel, Associate Professor from the School of Animal and Veterinary Science at the University of Adelaide, about dogs and the different types of coats they have. Susan, okay, let's say we're looking for a new puppy dog, and we do want to consider maintenance of the dog as well as the other considerations. Which breeds have the coat that I suppose is the easiest to maintain?
So I think probably the short-coated ones that don't need grooming, but it depends on what people want and if they have the money that they can afford to get a good groomer. So I would make sure you're going to a good groomer. Look for your dog's behaviour when you're taking them there. And if they're happy, then that's great. But if they're really fearful of going in, it's not a good experience for them. But if you might not have the time and resources, then don't get a dog that needs a lot of grooming. And there was a survey done in the US of a whole lot of people that, because those oodle breeds are very popular at the moment and they tend to need grooming. And people were surveyed, and after they got their dog, and a lot of them were completely unaware of the commitment that they needed to make to keep their dog groomed.
And it's also a stress because our dog groomers are pretty busy at the moment. I know I had to book 2 months in advance, so you can't just go, oh my goodness, you need a haircut, and try and book them in the next day. It's quite difficult.
Yeah, that is difficult, isn't it? And I imagine finding a good one could be difficult depending on where you live as well.
Susan, you mentioned when we do find a groomer that, you know, the dog, if they're hesitant to go in, is that the dog telling us that, you know what, this, I don't like this groomer, something happened there, or I just don't like them for some reason, and should we take notice of that?
Yes, absolutely it is, and we should take notice. And as you said, it could be that your dog is a little bit anxious anyway, and they're going to be anxious wherever they go. It could be that something has happened, and it can be something which seems relatively minor, but it's caused a fear reaction in the dog. And especially if they were younger and they're in their more critical socialisation period, it could be something quite minor, but it can have a really amplified effect. But, you know, sometimes there's no background. So we've got a little white fluffy Blesser who's a rescue, and we got her when she was only a pup, and she was fostered really well. But from the time we got her, she's very touch sensitive, and we groom her ourselves. But I've had to be very patient and take my time with her.
Something I suppose I'm not proud of is I bought this really expensive grooming set for my miniature poodle many years ago when I first got him, and he looks terrible. It's something I found it really, really difficult to do. I mean, he wasn't hurt. He didn't hate it or anything, but he looked like a sheep. It looked absolutely terrible. It's okay to home groom though, is it? We don't have to leave it to the professionals.
It's fine to home groom. Yeah. So a number of people will, and it depends on the breed. I mean, she's a little white fluffy and we're not fussy about her being perfectly symmetrical and everything. So she can look a bit scruffy, and she does. But if you've got a breed where you like to have them perfectly groomed, then maybe you might need to go and do a course where you can get them looking the way you want them to look.
I'll never forget the look on his face. Like, Dad, what have you done to me? Susan, what else should we be doing at home, I suppose, generally, to look after our dogs' coats? What's good for them?
So just brushing them is good for them. So those double-coated, even though Labradors are a short-coated breed and you don't need to remove mats or stop tangles, if you brush them, then you can start getting rid of that undercoat and you can reduce the amount that they shed inside. And I think brushing as well just stimulates the circulation. And again, if you make it a positive experience for dogs, so from the first time you do it, if you pair it with food, so they associate with something quite positive, then they'll love being brushed. And that's going to help any kind of dog, whether it's long or short.
Susan, I reckon if we went to eBay or one of those, you know, second-hand marketplaces, I reckon dog grooming clippers will be everywhere. I'm sure everyone struggled with it at some point. Thanks so much for chatting with us.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Susan Hazel, that's Associate Professor from the School of Animal and Veterinary Science at the University of Adelaide.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.